And let's turn now to Joshua 2. Joshua 2 is the text for our exhortation this morning. And we'll read the entire chapter. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly. You may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father and my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand thy word. And please help us, as we meditate upon it now, to treasure it in our hearts, to trust in it, and to follow thy ways. Help us to find encouragement from it in our walk with Thee. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Your culture, our culture here in the USA, likes you to think that you do not belong to anyone. You are independent. You are free citizens. But actually, you belong to someone if you repent of your sin and profess faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. And that ownership that Christ has in you is a blessing to you. If you did not belong to Christ in the church, you would belong to Satan and the world. Apart from Christ, you would belong to someone who is deceitful, yes, dishonest, and not worthy of your trust. Satan lets you think that you own your own ways, but that is merely a lie. He owns you if Christ does not. As God allows, Satan oversees the world within which he maintains philosophies and religions that lie as well. Beware. You cannot trust the teachings of this world. They are sometimes subtle teachings coming at us through public entertainment, news, talk shows, advertisements, and numerous other venues. Quite the opposite is true of Christ. Christ's message is explicit and direct, and you can trust Christ. When the church follows Christ, teaching accurately the Word of God, you can follow the church as well, because in that case, the church is teaching what Christ taught, and you can trust Christ. Close to 60 years ago, many in our pop culture rebelliously declared that God was dead. Furthermore, over the past 50 or 60 years, we have seen the federal government turn against God and Christ by removing prayer in government-run schools, accept the legalization of the murder of babies in the womb, the perversion of sexual morality, and not only the acceptance of, but the encouragement for individuals, even young people and children, to identify as the opposite sex and even surgically alter the outward evidence of their sex at birth. More recently, we have seen many politicians refuse to protect property and life from rioters in many cities, followed by an apparent corruption of the election process in many of the same cities. Many Christians find these things abhorrent because they measure the actions against the Word of God. Christians measure actions against the Word of God because they belong to God. These Christians belong to Jesus Christ. In contrast, those who oppose Christ often oppose God's Word. Those who oppose Christ may even hate those who are with Christ or with the morality that Christ represents. Hopefully, those who are with Christ do not return the enmity, as Christ told them to love their enemies. The hatred of the Canaanites toward the Israelites was very similar, because the lifestyle of the Canaanites was in sharp contrast to what God taught Israel. The question of belonging to Jesus Christ or to Satan was important to Joshua, to the two spies he sent to assess Jericho, to Rahab, and to the inhabitants of Jericho and the rest of Canaan. Belonging to Christ means you have all the privileges and promises of the children of God. Belonging to Satan and the world means you have the hope of everlasting hellfire, described as painful and producing wailing and gnashing of teeth. Belonging to Christ, we forever have the Holy Spirit, are under God's fatherly care, are made heir of all the promises, and fellow heirs with Christ. In short, we have blessing forever from God. Speaking of the Canaanites, God spoke to Israel through Moses, saying that God was going to use Israel to judge his enemies. God said, "It is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." There was a difference between the Canaanites and the ancient Israelites, but it was not in terms of their own righteousness. Rather, God had promised to the Israelites' forefathers to give this land to them, and to do so only after the sins of the Canaanites were complete. This was a matter of belonging to God and receiving his promises. God promised it more than the land. God also gave hope to all mankind, whether Israelite, Canaanite, or other Gentiles. Each of you deserves God's condemnation, his judgment. Yet God promised to send Jesus Christ to be the victor over the judgment you deserve, and to count Christ's own personal righteousness as your own. God provided this message of hope to all, even the Canaanite. He did so at that time, conveying the gospel message through the promises given to Abraham, possibly through the book of Job, and more prominently through the Ark of the Covenant and the ceremonial laws to be practiced by Israel. Jericho belonged to Satan. The city practiced a religion of Canaan which had many gods, with the primary god being described as Baal, and also his wife Ashtoreth. The religion with many gods promoted all manner of immoral practices. Some of these practices you would rightly associate with Sodom and Gomorrah. These two very ancient cities had been located very close by, and God had destroyed them with fire and brimstone some 400 or 500 years before. But the sin of the Canaanite was not yet full. God was not going to judge Canaan until its sin was full. While God did not elaborate on what sin being full meant, I think you can compare Canaan to what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah to consider what is involved with sin being full. God commanded Lot, his wife, and two daughters to leave Sodom before God destroyed it. God was not willing to destroy the righteous with the wicked. This is not to say that Lot and his family were righteous in actual practice. God saw them as righteous in his sight because he saw what Jesus Christ would do many years later to take the punishment for their sin. Lot and his family belonged to Christ. Once they were gone, God destroyed Sodom. Even so, God had his own people in Canaan. God would not destroy Canaan without preserving his own. Such turned out to be the case for Rahab and her parents and all that were with her in her house. Once Rahab and those in her house were able to enter among God's own people, God would destroy the rest of the city of Jericho. Rahab, her parents, and all that were in her house lost their property, but not their own souls. Such is the case for you as well. God is not going to destroy you with the rest of the world when God judges, though you may lose material things. You may be reminded of Jesus Christ's own words as recorded in Mark 8. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his own soul? Of course, Joshua belonged to Jesus Christ as well. God had just commanded Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Given Joshua's own history, you might ask yourselves, was Joshua being strong and of a good courage when he sent out two spies secretly to view the land, even Jericho? The sending of two unnamed spies was in sharp contrast to what Moses had done about 40 years earlier. You likely remember the name of the two spies 40 years earlier who returned to Israel with a recommendation to go into the land God had promised, for God would deliver the people of the land into their hands. They were Caleb and this same Joshua. You may not remember even one name of the 10 spies who gave an unfaithful recommendation, despite how good the land appeared to be, full of plenty and described as a land full of milk and honey. Yet they were indeed named. At God's command, Moses had publicly sent out 12 spies, each a ruler of a tribe, and each identified by name in Numbers 13. This time, 40 years later, was different. Joshua apparently wanted only a limited scope, perhaps to devise a military strategy, as he already knew what was in the land. Joshua used his strength and showed a good courage by sending the spies privately. A military leader has a duty to evaluate the situation as best he can in order to devise a strategy. Joshua simply and quietly carried out his duty to lead his nation in battle against God's enemies. If the spies returned with a bad report, the matter could be kept quiet. Sending spies privately required spiritual strength that came from knowing God's word. It also required good courage, not relying on other people to support him, but merely requiring God's approval. He belonged to Christ and trusted Christ. Belonging to Christ, you also should be spiritually strong as you acquire knowledge of God's word. You also should have good courage as you rely only upon God, not requiring others around you to support your decisions to serve Jesus Christ. Once you have received the advice you need to make your decision, having asked God for wisdom to make that decision, you should follow that course. Despite the differences, sending the spies also had an important similarity to Moses sending the 12 spies 40 years earlier. Moses told the 12 spies to be of a good courage. A good courage comes from faith in God's promises. Once again, you too can have good courage when you read God's word. Pray without ceasing. Trust in the promises associated with baptism and the Lord's Supper. And rely on the Holy Spirit working in you. The 12 spies had courage to view and assess the land and its people. They brought back samples of the plenteous fruit of that land. But for 10 of them, they did not have a good courage. They feared the people when they ought to have trusted God. 10 did not believe. 10 did not belong to Christ. Do you have a good courage and are you spiritually strong? Do you profess Christ to those around you? And do you stand firm against the temptations that confront you in the world? When faced with someone who takes Christ's name in vain, do you correct him or her? When faced with someone who wants you to accept as lawful those practicing adultery, sodomy, murder, or rioting with destruction of other people's property, do you speak up to defend your Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you offer them the hope of the gospel? Do you trust the Holy Spirit to strengthen you to steadfastly profess Christ? Do you live as though you belong to Christ? Are you told by your employer or others around you to participate in matters that amount to worship of other gods or denial of what Jesus Christ teaches? Sometimes employers insist that employees participate in Eastern religious practices with spiritual associations, though they do not call it that. They may not even realize it. Sometimes employers expect you to contribute to so-called charities that support abortion or that support revolutionary organizations under the auspices of fighting racism. As you know, racism is sin by nature. But sometimes your employer wants you to support the political and revolutionary anti-Christian BLM organization. Do you go along with them or do you respectfully decline, explaining that you belong to Christ, and respectfully explain how BLM departs from Christ? Joshua stood for Christ. He belonged to Christ. In this account of the two spies going to Jericho, the men must have taken their cue from God's command to Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. They had to be strong and of a good courage to enter the enemy city. Here you may be reminded of words Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, as recorded in chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The two spies trusted God and his promises in other ways as well. Yet at this moment, they showed courage and strength in entering the city. They also showed love and a sound mind in entering the house of a harlot. You may well ask how entering a house of prostitution is showing love. They showed love by recognizing that God made all men in his image. That image may be distorted by sin, yet it is nevertheless God's image. Those who belong to Satan in the world still have the image of God. God made man in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Man's knowledge is different from any other visible creature in that, among other things, we can learn history by reading and hearing, not simply by experiencing it ourselves or having it in some fashion stored in us physiologically. Man also understands that he has a purpose in history and life, which we might call holiness. even though this purpose is often severely distorted by sin. Furthermore, man has a sense of right and wrong, that while again distorted by sin, yet is manifest according to the image of God. The two spies could speak to a harlot, an enemy of God in the world, because they knew they themselves belonged to the promised Savior and could love and respect a woman made in the image of God. They showed godly love in a charitable sense. This is not the way of our world today. Political opponents, for example, today do not often view their opponents as made in the image of God. They often have utter disdain for each other. Yet in this passage, the two spies willingly engaged in discussions with a harlot. Do you engage with those in our world who promote sexual perversions, hoping to invite them to church or directly offer them the gospel of Christ? Entering a harlot's house could have seemed contrary to following Christ. Her provocative clothing and perhaps provocative behavior may have prompted many of you men to run rather than enter. And particularly if you were alone, that would be a prudent action to take. Consider, however, that the spies were not alone in this mission, but were with one another. They would be much less likely to succumb to temptation than had one been alone. Furthermore, they had a sound mind accompanied with their godly love toward this woman in need of salvation. When faced with someone from the world, consider that you might help them by offering the gospel of Christ. These two spies focused together on what was at the heart of the issue. They focused on the harlot's spiritual need. Like their Savior, the promised Messiah, Jesus, the spies befriended sinners. This is wonderful news for you. You too were sinners who needed a Savior, and you've got relatives in the same situation. Jesus Christ befriended you, and you now belong to Him. The spies must have recognized from their interaction with Rahab that she could be a beneficiary of God's grace found in the promised Messiah. At a minimum, they recognized that God could use this woman to protect them from others in Jericho who would do them harm. They saw that God was not constrained to accomplish His plan through those who profess Christ. Rather, God could use anyone. Many years later, at the time of Elisha the prophet, God used an Israelite maiden captured by the Syrians to tell Naaman, the mighty Syrian commander, to seek help from a prophet of God. In the time of the apostles, God used a common Christian, Ananias, to present the gospel message to Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul. God may use you as well. In the book of Acts, you see that the Holy Spirit set aside Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries to cities beyond Palestine and Lebanon. They were also two in number, though they, of course, brought along John Mark to help. They were men who were strong and of a good courage, bringing with them spiritual weapons of faith, right knowledge of the gospel, righteous living, the truth, indeed the word of God, and prayer. They handled these weapons with love, recognizing that God would draw men and women to Himself and restore them in godly knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Restoration of the image of God in men and women is found only in Christ. Christ died for sins, rose from the dead, and ascended to heaven to rule all things. He and the Father sent the Holy Spirit within the church to proclaim the truth for all to believe until the final day of judgment. Be like the two spies and allow your Savior to use you to invite people to hear the gospel at church. Invite others to believe in Christ and to turn from the domain of Satan to the kingdom of God's only begotten Son. I hope you see how you can be spiritually strong and of a good courage like Joshua and these two spies. You belong to Christ, and as such, you can hide God's word in your heart, treasuring it. You can pray and remember God's promises to you and to His people. You must also recognize that God is the one who will use you the way He will to draw others into His kingdom. Because they were strong and of a good courage, the two spies saw Rahab and others of her kin deny citizenship in the world and enter the kingdom of God. They no longer belong to Satan, but rather to Christ. I work with reinsurance, and that involves negotiating treaties with insurance companies. If I could choose any one person in history to negotiate terms of agreement for me, I might choose Rahab. Rahab knew that all the strength and power behind the negotiations were on the side of the two spies of Israel. She testified herself, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Knowing that information, she could see that she was in a position of begging. But she did not act that way at all. In most negotiations, two or more parties promise to exchange something at the moment or in the future. Rahab used something she had already done to acquire what she desired from the two men. She had already shown kindness to the two Israelite spies, and she desired much more than an even exchange. An even exchange may have been the lives of two people, one for each spy. But Rahab desired that all her father's household would live. Admittedly, the two spies actually needed something else from Rahab. They needed Rahab to be quiet about their presence in Jericho, at least for a few days. So they added her silence to the list of terms. But clearly, Rahab had already intended to be quiet. She had already shown the men kindness by hiding them on her roof. And we have no reason to think that she intended to turn on them afterward. She believed that God was going to conquer her city. But Rahab also knew that Israel's God might be kind to her. She had attributed great strength to Israel's God for miraculously delivering the small nation of Israel from the mighty Egypt and for conquering two kings of the Amorites on the east side of the Jordan. But she also knew that Israel's God was kind to Israel. God had destroyed three nations. He had at the same time shown his goodness toward the nation of Israel. Israel had been slaves in Egypt, and Rahab knew that God had been kind to them. Rahab wanted to be a recipient of that same kindness. And she wanted it not only for herself, but for all her family. She negotiated skillfully for all that was on her heart. We are told in Hebrews 11 that by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies in peace. Rahab deserved to die with the rest of the inhabitants of Canaan, but she turned to the one who was to judge her and received the kindness that she sought. Rahab no longer belonged to Satan in the world, but was conveyed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You too deserve to suffer in death, yet you know that God showed kindness by sending his son to suffer in death for us. Just as Rahab trusted in God's kindness for safety, so you should look to the kindness of God and trust in Christ for safety. You belong to Jesus Christ and to his kingdom, the church. When you enter the membership of the church, you are given a mark that you belong. That mark is baptism. Rahab sought for a token as she could not go with the spies. They responded by pledging their own lives for hers. This seemed to be all that the spies had to offer. Yet as Rahab started to lower them down the wall of the city, the spies recognized that the scarlet rope could be used as a sign. Perhaps the scarlet reminded them of the blood that their parents had placed on the door lintel and doorposts of their houses in Egypt. If so, then the scarlet would have indirectly represented the blood of Christ being shed for Rahab's sins and for those of all who would belong to Christ. Jesus shed his blood in order to take away the sins of all who believe on him. Even if the scarlet had no intention of representing the Passover, it still represented a mark of Rahab's trust in being delivered by God when she ought to have been judged. Rahab had to display the scarlet rope prominently. She could not deny its presence, but rather profess its meaning to others. Rahab likely needed to persuade her family and others to join her house. Otherwise, her kin would have had to wonder how the Israelites would recognize them as distinct from the others. You also have a marker to distinguish you and all who come to Christ as distinct from others living in the world. That mark is baptism. Do not take it lightly. It represents that you've been washed and now have a clear conscience. It represents that you are members in the kingdom of Christ. It represents that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and belong to Him. Of course, baptism is a benefit to you because you trust in Christ and participate with God's people in worshiping Jesus Christ each week. This is involved in belonging to Christ as He commands us to worship Him one day a week, which the church does on the first day of the week in commemoration of Christ's resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit in a special way at Pentecost. Do people know you belong to Christ? You profess that you belong to Christ by worshiping Him each week with God's people. You may invite others to come and worship with you so that they too can be delivered from judgment. In fact, you should invite others to worship Him. They need to belong to Jesus Christ in order to be delivered from the misery of their sin and its everlasting punishment, described, as we said before, as hellfire, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Rahab gave wise counsel to the two spies. She sent them to the hills for cover until those that sought them had given up their chase. The spies once again exercised strength and good courage by following this woman's advice. They made it back to Joshua after 3 days, and they gave a very good report. Yet during those 3 days of waiting in the hills overlooking the Jordan River Valley, they must have had time to consider what had happened to Sodom and Gomorrah many years before. Particularly, they may have recalled that two angels had gone to bring out those who professed the true religion before it was destroyed. Perhaps the two spies considered that God had used them much like God had used the two angels some 4 or 5 centuries before. Their work enabled Rahab and others to escape the destruction of Jericho. The two spies gave Joshua a very good report that the people of the land fainted because of Israel's threat. This report may have made it easier for Joshua to consider later instruction from Joshua's own commander to encircle Jericho. It most definitely must have helped Joshua decide to administer a multitude of circumcisions and celebrate the Passover on the Jericho side of the river. Normally, practicing these sacraments of the Old Testament would have left them militarily vulnerable. These sacraments also represented that the people of Israel belonged to the promised Christ, Jesus. Yet perhaps most important, Joshua could see that God was the one who was receiving the credit for delivering Israel's enemies into their hands. Rahab had testified, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that it was the Lord who dried up the Red Sea for the Israelites 40 years before." The world could see that it was God who judged the nations. Presumably, the inhabitants of Jericho had spies as well. The Canaanites had eyes to observe the movements of the Israelite armies. Joshua was about to make sure that the Canaanites and Israelites alike could see that God was with the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan River. Joshua wanted God to be glorified in his judgment of the Canaanites and in his expression of mercy and kindness toward those who trust in him and must belong to him. Give your family, friends, and strangers the same opportunity to belong to your Savior. Belonging to Christ is not subtle, and the message it conveys is true. This generation of Israel, Joshua, the two spies, Rahab, and also Rahab's family, trusted in God's mercy and kindness and helped others learn of it. They belonged to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ as well. Hope in His promises. Be strong and of a good courage, and invite others to hear the good news of Christ. Amen.